Good evening. You're tuned to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Locals Only, and I'm Rusty, broadcasting live from our historic home on South 4th Avenue in Armory Park. Up next, Little King playing live in Studio 2A. Now I have to remember how to do it, though. That's the important thing. Okay, take it away, live in Studio 2A.
The grace of your love has taken flight, and what it is.
Nice. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, of course. It's our pleasure. You're tuned to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Locals Only. I'm Rusty, joined by Little King. That was really great, gentlemen.
Thank you. That's a couple older songs. That last one's from 2008-ish. It's called Mea Culpa, which is my bad.
Sure.
Is what it is. And I guess that's sort of the gist of the song. It's like, it's my open apology to the person at the time who clearly deserved an apology.
Yeah, we've all been there.
We've all been there multiple times. But like, part of the progression is trying to learn from our mistakes. We make music, we write about them, we process the, whatever the trauma is, external and internal, and then we kind of move on. So, yeah, it's all, gosh, I mean, you turn around and these songs that you feel like you just wrote are like 18 years old now. It's crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Well, so let me have you introduce yourselves.
Sure.
So you guys are Little King. There are two of you here right now. Tell me who you are and what you're doing in Little King.
Yeah,
so people get a sense of it.
Yeah, I'm Ryan Rozoff. I am... actually, the name Ryan means little king in Gaelic. So way back in the day when I was first starting this band in 1996 in Texas, I was looking for a band name. And there was a lot of little this and a little that for all the hip hop in the 90s. So I thought I would kind of make fun of myself and all of it in particular. So, yeah, Ryan means little king. So that was it. And yeah.
Well, my name is Tony and I play drums in Little King. Actually, my name is Antonio and we've been playing for... Well, like 2 years now?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Tony's the latest drummer in a long line of Little King drummers. Hopefully he won't be spinal tap and spontaneously combust and leave a green globule on his seat like all the other guys have. Don't worry about it, Tony. I got you.
I'm hopeful that we're not having...
The hex is off. Yeah, we're good.
No spontaneous combustion in Studio 2A. There's kind of a rule. It's a standing rule that we have.
Clean up on aisle, in room two.
Studio 2A, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, so tell me, Ryan, how long have you been playing music? Because you talk about you've written a song like for 18 years ago.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this?
Goodness. I mean, I've been playing guitar going on for years. I mean, a long time, as long, you can imagine. But the first Little King album came out in 1997. So we're essentially going on tour, in the next couple of weeks, and we're sort of celebrating 30 years of Little King making music. And so 8 albums through the course of those 29 years, a couple singles as well, 3 singles, and then one, of course, that just dropped tonight, like about 20 minutes ago, called Opus Perficit, which I know we'll be talking about in a little bit. But I basically been doing this nonstop for 30 years with interludes of having to work and, being a responsible parent and being a responsible human and not going on the road for 6 months at a time, as much as sometimes that felt like the right thing to do. But I, we've had to kind of balance that with being irresponsible, in particular in my case, being a parent of 2 kids. So they're grown now, 20 and 30. It's a little bit easier to kind of function as a quasi full-time musician, I would say, living here in Tucson for the last 6 years, and then, came here originally in 1990 from Seattle. So making music for a really long time, but really as Little King, it'll be 30 years in November of this year.
Wow. Congratulations. That's an amazing thing.
It blows your mind. I mean, as we get older, right, time goes more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The passage of time is, in all aspects, it's a relative equation, right? So I used to be a high school English teacher, and when you're teaching high school English, you got 16 and 17-year-old kids, and they're not really interested in Moby Dick. At least I found that they weren't that interested.
I found that as well. Yeah, as a middle school teacher, I don't teach Moby Dick.
Okay, so there you go. So as an English teacher, I was trying to just find anything that I could, to appeal to them and kind of appeal their sense of place and time. And you don't have much of a concept of the passage of time when you're 17 years old. So my analogy to them was like, look, it's the spiral of time, and the circles get smaller, and time moves more quickly the older you get because... a relative equation, right? Math is 1/16th of a high school junior's life. Well, for me, it's 1/54th of my life. Oops, just gave it away. But but really, as a kid, as a 5-year-old though, right, the summer lasts forever, right? As a little kid, because essentially the summer's only 1/20th of whatever it is that you've already experienced. For me, the summer is 1/216th of whatever it is. So as you get older, I look at my mom, who's a robust 82. I mean, I can't even imagine what the passage of time is for someone in their 80s. It must just be like the blink of an eye, and here we are.
Yeah, that's a fair thing. You and I are about the same age. Our parents are about the same age. My dad, I think about that. He's 84, 85 now. And he talks about, he's like,
I blink and the day is over. Yeah. Like I barely get out of bed. And it's interesting to me. I think something, there's something when we've experienced something a lot, it does go faster, right? And so when we've experienced life faster, it does. I think that's a really interesting point you have with this, the circles.
I've been, since I was a kid, for whatever reason, however the wiring in my brain is, I've always been very acutely aware of the passage of time. Even as a, you know, as a teenager, I wanted to maximize my time and leave a legacy behind, leave a, you know, something behind that would represent whatever was going on at any given time. So over 30 years, you know, I made now when I was 24, I made now when I was 27, I made now when I was 33, whether it was a divorce or a change of job or another divorce or another change of job or the birth of children, to me, the music has become over time these little mileposts along my sort of linear timeline of what I've done. So I don't always love everything that I've done in the past. I try not to revisit my old catalog too much. Although when I'm writing music, I revisit it a lot because I want to make sure I'm not being super redundant and repeating phrases and even chord progressions and things like that. So that's really when we're, you know, when Tony and I were in the writing process, because Tony and I wrote basically the last album together. And I was going back and I was like, hey, we can't do that because I already did that in 1998. Or, hey, that sounds too much like this song from 2004. So these little mileposts along the way have given me sort of, I don't know, almost like pitons, like you're climbing up a mountain and it's like sort of something that you can stick into the mountain and hang on to it. And then you climb up again and you keep kind of going up and up.
I love that. I love that. And
I just made it up. So thanks, man.
Well, yeah, you obviously have a literary sensibility.
Sure.
You know, before we just get back into more music immediately, I kind of wonder, share with us, what have been your influences to write? Like you've got a new album out, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. I mean, our influences are so similar in some ways. You know, Tony grew up in Mexico, but spends a lot of time here and, you know, lives, you know, sometimes in Tucson and
New York.
New York and where else? I mean, where else have you been? Canada.
Well, Canada, New York, South America, New Jersey, a couple of states here.
You saved New Jersey the best for last, right? the thing is, you're a sponge if you're a musician. You should be a sponge, and I think you, the influences are pretty broad. I think they're narrow. At least for me, they were pretty narrow as a kid. I mean, again, you said we're similar age. You know, I was growing up listening to this, the Beatles and Zeppelin and the Stones and Rush. You know, was a huge influence for me for sure. But as you get older, I think you broaden your palate and you come into more contact with people like Tony, who's introduced me to a lot of different rhythms and music. And things that really, the last album we released in September, and again, Tony and I sat in my studio right here downtown. I have a studio, you know, four blocks away on Pennington. And we just sat and we really, I said, here are these arrangements. And Tony's like bringing his, you know, Latin rhythms, very much more into progressive music, like the super progressive music than I am.
Yeah,
so,
I love that.
Yeah, I know you do. And it made our music better, you know, and it's so cool. I write a lot of the music and I write all the words myself, but they really don't take shape and form until you bring them and put them in the hands of somebody else who comes from an entirely different background, whether it's musical background or life background or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, part of the passion that we share is like the collaboration of it makes it so cool, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Just to reset, you're tuned to 91.3 KXCI. I'm Rusty. Locals Only is what you're listening to. I'm here with Little Kings, which is Ryan, and I wrote it down.
Antonio!
And Antonio, thank
Marquez.
You. So, you guys, before we get into more music, you've got a single that dropped tonight.
Yeah.
People can
yeah.
find it right now.
Like literally 35 minutes ago. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
On Spotify, we can
yeah,
find
everywhere.
It.
Yeah.
Everywhere. What's the name of the cut again?
So the song is called Opus Perficit, or Perficit, I guess. I'm not fluent in Latin, but Opus Perficit essentially means he completes the work. And the song was written, you know, over the last 3 or 4 months and walking up to my studio. I live kind of near Sabino Canyon, so my commute's fairly, you know, substantial every day. And I'm down here 5 or 6 days a week, driving downtown. It's about a 30-35 minute commute. I typically am on my motorcycle. I usually ride in and ride home. And so the song is about the process, the entire creative process of getting up in the morning, getting on the motorcycle, coming down here, grinding through the arrangements. And Tony can attest to, we play the songs 1,000 times before they're written. You're trying these in every time signature, every meter, every different key, just to try and find the thing. the magic in there somewhere. And you don't know it until you've kind of got it. But you, in my experience now over all this time, you sort of find it. So the song is really about the creative process. It's really for all artists. I've played it for some of my musician friends here in town and abroad, and they all really relate to it. It's like, gosh, you know, it really kind of encompasses what I feel like, the grind of creation and editing and re-editing and the pain of actually like finally saying, he completes the work, opus perfecti. This is done. It's time to put it out in the world, because it's never really done. But what I've reconciled over all of these years, over 30 years, what I've reconciled the fact is that even if it's not totally done, you cut it in the studio, you play it live, and that's where you give it a chance to kind of morph and change.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's just brilliant stuff. I mean, this is anybody listening right now, if you're a young person listening right now, this is musicology and art 101. I mean, this is basically
maybe 201, dude. I'm
maybe
not.
No, but what you're doing is you're telling people, I mean, you're laying it out there. And, and I think for young people, especially if you're listening, I think this is really great to hear about how your music evolves.
Yeah.
And it evolves not just when you are putting something together, but when you're working with somebody else like Tony, or when you're doing it live and doing it in front of people, it changes then too.
Oh, it changes so much live. And the third member of the band, and we're remiss in not mentioning him before, is David Hamilton. And Dave and I have been friends for a long time. He is an amazing musician. I mean, I don't use that term lightly. He plays bass for us, but he used to play cello on couple of my previous records. He also plays piano on Opus Perfecti. Mm. So in the new song, he's actually switching between bass, guitar, and piano. And he brings another set of musical influences and background. He plays in a very popular funk band in Texas as well. He is the director of an entire school district choir and orchestra. Mm. So he has a very classical training as well as some kind of funk. And he's similar age to us as well. So boy, when the three of us got together, coming from these very disparate sort of seemingly disparate influences, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh no, they're not disparate at all, they're really right along the same track. And it's just, it came together in all of my time of making music, you know, in the 30 years of doing this, this was by far the most fun process, the easiest process. And we really love each other, I think, as human beings too. And I, you know, there's no addiction issues in this band, which is a massive blessing for all you youngsters out there. When you're interviewing your band members and you're trying to find your guys and your gals, you know, it should be one of the first questions, to be honest with you, because it'll derail every dream you have if you're dealing with people who are much more interested in having a good time after rehearsal than the actual rehearsal itself.
Yes. I've seen that happen a bunch in live. Well, I've hung around a lot of artists
I've been there myself. We've been there. Yeah. I mean, we fortunately came through the other side of it in one piece, but I mean, it was tenuous for a minute. Yeah.
Well, this is just fantastic. Ryan, Tony, Little King is your act. Real quickly, you've got a show coming up.
We do.
Yeah.
Let people know about that, and then we'll get into more music.
Sure. So we have a show
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, July 12th at the Brick Box, which is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. We haven't played there before, so this is our first time. We haven't played a ton of shows in Tucson. We're on the road all the next 2 weeks, so this is our quasi-homecoming show, which is always super fun. All the buddies and the family and friends come out of the woodwork, play with a couple great local bands. My buddy Ray's band, The Crown Syndicate, as well as my friend Jeff. He's got a band called Zold. So we're playing with those two guys. And that's, this Sunday, I think 7 o'clock is doors or something like that at Brick Box. But yeah, it's a, you know, we're playing a lot of acoustic music in here tonight, but we're much more of a progressive kind of heavier rock band with some acoustic touches live. So it's quite dynamic, I think, you know, in an hour and 10 minutes of music. One of our main purposes and goals is to make sure that people don't get too bored. We don't want to be to one speed and one note and one key and one dynamic. And with a three piece, you know, it's definitely a significant challenge to be able to lay out all those dynamics. So I think the way we've designed this set has been excellent. I'm really proud of what we've put together. We toured a little bit in March and had a great run. So we're really excited to kind of bring it home and play for our family and for our friends and for you all, for sure.
Right on. Well, I love the first two songs you played for us. You're listening to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Little King. Ryan, Tony, take it away. Let's hear a couple more.
Yeah, this is a song called Set It Down. It comes from our album in 2021 called Amuse the Cue. Set It Down is addresses the theme of what you and I were just talking about, which is the addiction and kicking addiction and, you know, kind of making it, making bad things happen in everybody's life. But how do you make it work for you? How can you turn, lemons into lemonade, so to speak? So this is a song called Set It Down. Take it away, Antonio. headphones, throat running dry, comatose, well past noon, back to bed, I'll be up soon, spirit sick, liquid ruin, different day, it's the same old tune, set it down, out of time, going down. So many times the last call, the lights come up and I take a fall. I couldn't walk out, yeah, I barely could crawl. For you, this is the last song on our new album. Album's called Lente Viviente, which is a Spanish translation for a song for the phrase the living lens. And the living lens is how all of our biases and all the things that sneak into our life that color the way we perceive ourselves, perceive each other, perceive the passage of time, and really just asks at the end of this record for us to examine those prejudices and biases. And why do we believe what we believe? Why do we think what we think? Is it environmental? Is it familial? Is it through our friends? Is it through the media that we consume? And I think at the end of it, it's just asking us to take advantage of the time, this gift that we've been given, and to just be kind to each other.
Yeah. makes me weak. Bridge of the nose and those elegant toes, shifting by the breeze. Send the left of heel, focus on the trees, cooling us down like a summer breeze. We're the last one standing.
Guys,
appreciate it, man. We're not used to playing these acoustics. It's a little different foray for us, so when you come see us on the 12th, it'll be full on.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about that.
Sure.
Real quickly, though, I always like to reset. You're tuned to 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I'm Rusty. I'm with Little King. They have a show this Sunday night at Brick Box Brewery.
Yes.
And right now you've been, like you said, you've played four acoustic songs for us, but I've seen your music videos. This is not typical for you guys at all.
It is not.
So what's a show like for Little King? What am I going to see when we come?
Well, it's mostly like a rock show, you know, with the full drum set, bass, electric bass guitar, and guitar set, power trio.
Yeah, we're big fans of three pieces. Yeah. I'm a huge Rush fan, and the Police, and you know, even ZZ Top, we go back. Mm. And I like the dynamic of a three piece. I like the challenge of a three piece as well. So there's a lot going on stage, but I think you can expect the full rock show with dynamics. People always ask us, like, what kind of music do you have? And I'm like, you tell me. I guess the best descriptor that I've ever heard, or the one that I embrace at least the most, is dynamic rock. I think we go from the heaviest of the heaviest to the lightest of the light, and you know, all points in between. And again, with the purpose of keeping people entertained over the course of an hour, not one speed, not one volume, not one, you know, not one kind of vibe all the way through, not one key. It's
like a roller coaster.
It's kind of a little bit like a roller coaster. I think, you know, the dynamics of music. I love metal. Like, I love heavy bands. I love acoustic rock. I love a lot of those. But I tend to lose focus after 15 or 20 minutes sometimes if everything's at the same volume and the same speed and the same
100%.
Key. And that's not the music that I grew up on. I'd like to think of it as listening to Little King Radio on shuffle live. I think that's as good a description as any. So
yeah,
that's what you can expect. But certainly I think we're all competent musicians and we all love playing with each other, and everybody who sees us really gets that vibe off stage. We're happy people for sure.
You've got a literary sensibility. You're former English teacher, still an English teacher?
Very former, yeah.
Okay,
I lasted English 2 years. Teacher. I admire the rest of you stuck it out. Wow. You know, Dave, our bass player, is a teacher too, and it's just, I did 2 years in the hole.
Fair enough. No, I get it. I get not for everybody,
it's
for
not,
sure.
It's not.
But I do get a sense. I mean, you're very professional here in seeing what you guys do, just in talking about how you put your songs together. and you've been doing it for so long, you can't do that without developing a sense of professionalism, I feel like.
Well, I think if you care.
You would have fought. Yeah, if you care, you wouldn't just keep doing it.
Yeah.
You would lose that, I think. And so doing it for so long, it comes across that you guys are really know what you're doing and put on, I imagine, quite a show.
I appreciate that. I hope so. I hope it sounds like we know what we're
doing.
You could fool some of the people some of the time, I guess, right? It's old P.T. Barnum. But I do really respect and value an audience, any audience, whether it's one person and some cockroaches and a bartender or a club with 500 people in it. The fact that somebody has decided to give us their time and their energy and their attention, I've come such a long way from just learning, you know, three chords on my bed at age 12 with an acoustic guitar. And it sometimes blows my mind that there are actually people out there that care. And I will never, ever take that for granted. I think it's just amazing. It blows my mind that people actually want to come hear us, see us, find our music online, download it, read the words. It moves me profoundly. And I don't think that in a live setting we'll ever take that for granted. One person, 1,000 people, it'll always be the same delivery. And that delivery is with precision and passion and love and kindness and concern and care and appreciation for our audience, I think, more than anything.
Wow, that's really fantastic. I've been to all the different shows, right? Like at this point in my life, I've seen hundreds of shows.
All of them.
I've been to all of them, and my favorite things are almost the ones where maybe not that many people turned out on a Tuesday night, but man, the band still is there, and they recognize like what you're talking about. Yeah. When people turn out and come to see your show, it's great that you really care and put that out there.
Well, we have a blast in rehearsal. I mean, that's how you know you're doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
When there's literally zero people, you know. I love playing the guitar in my bed still, you know, after 40 years of doing, you know, playing guitar. There's something about finding musicians like Tony and like Dave who share that same sort of inner, you know, that fire that burns, regardless of audience or regardless of what the medium is, even if it's, you know, visual art or just food, because Tony's a professional chef too, you know, he's a trained chef. And I feel so blessed, you know, at this point in my career at age 147, you know, to have found people who really share that similar passion for it. We hear it over and over again when we play live. People feel it. They hear our music and they feel it. This is not being mailed in. And that's really, really important to me. And we're evolving always. This new song that just came out, Opus Perficit, it's a departure. It's an acoustic song with piano and bass. There's literally no drums other than a couple timpani hits in there. And it's just another evolution of the things that keep us interested. And we feel like if we're keeping ourselves interested as musicians, that hopefully our audience will follow along and be as interested in what we're doing as we are.
Yeah, no, I think that comes across. And just the amount of effort you put into each song and the way you perform. I mean, I've just absolutely loved watching you guys. I
appreciate it, man. Thank you.
This is the coolest thing I ever get to do almost, is like hang out with musicians and get my own show.
Yeah.
So super, super great that you guys have joined us here today. We don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
Where can people find your music right now? I know my friend Nikki was here earlier, and she made like your music video. I saw that. That's mind-blowing stuff.
She's done a couple of them. She did the one at the Pima Air Museum.
That's the one.
Yeah, it's called Bombs Away. That was from 2021, and that was when Nikki and I met for the first time, really. And I love her. I mean, how do you not?
How do you not like, you know,
a real person? She's the best. But our website is the touchstone for all that we do. So it's Little King Tunes, like T-U-N-E-S, like songs, not like cartoons. So Little King Tunes. com. All the social media madness is at Little King Tunes as well. So if you remember that, you can find everything. And that's, you know, Spotify and Apple and YouTube and not Tic Tac.
Okay, fair enough. No Tic Tac for Little King.
No Tic Tac yet. I mean, you know, maybe my kid will set that up. But no, for now, I think we're pretty easy to find. If you just look up Little King Tunes, you'll get all the last, you know, basically seven albums plus the new song.
Right on. Yeah. 8 albums out now over the course of 30 years. There's a show on Sunday at Brick Box Brewery. Little King has been our guest. We're going to play a recording of your song that you've been talking about.
Yes.
Do you want to set that up?
Yeah.
We've got like a minute to set it up.
Sure. So this is literally the world debut of the song. We have some wonderful publicists that work for us, one in the UK and one in Canada, and they do an amazing job of getting our music out to the world. I think, you know, 185 countries is what the last album was streamed in, and that's again, mind-blowing when you're on your bed at an age 12, you know, playing your music and someone in Azerbaijan's downloading your album. It's pretty cool. But again, you know, this song was just a one-off single. We wanted to release something before we went on the road, you know, something to mess around with live too. So it's just, this song is just about the grind, man. It's about the artistic, you know, the push and pull and the struggle of being an artist and completion versus editing and re-editing and fine-tuning. And as you mentioned, I'm literary and I'm a writer, and I was trained as a, you know, as an English major and a creative writing major. And it's just finally getting to that point where, you know, he completes the work. This is done. So this song just got released at 9 o'clock Tucson time to the world. So yeah, literally, wow. I don't think anybody's probably heard the song, certainly on the radio, until right now. So we certainly appreciate KXCI and the great work you guys do. This is home. Tucson's home. We love it. And you guys are a huge part of the fabric of what makes this city special. So appreciate you.
I love KXCI. It's such an important part of Tucson. Yeah. And this show, Locals Only, getting to have Little King on here today or any of the number of acts that we have is just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and play that cut, and then we'll go on to the next show, which is Night Interlude with Danae. Thank you, Little King. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you.